And
my name is Joanna Domingo.
We are sitting right now in Tondo, Manila, in the dump site where we work.
And the name of our ministry is Kalayaan Community Ministries.
We have been serving in this community now for 11 years.
The heart of everything is discipleship, but from that has grown a church plant, mentoring, Bible studies, community visitations, two kinds of feeding program, one for specifically for the undernourished and then a general. We have college and university scholarship, livelihood, medical assistance, house of prayer that's open for prayer and worship every day. That's some of the things that go on.
Hi, I'm Enoch, the artist and photographer on mission, and I just spend the night here in my church in Happy Land, Tondo. And I thought I'd make a video for you guys, showing all the good sides of Tondo. Everyone always makes depressing videos here, showing pagpag, the garbage food, showing the garbage, showing the murders. I want to show a true perspective. I want to show how God is bringing joy into this community. For this video, I'll be walking through and introducing you to people and places around Tondo. I'll be asking them to share secret personal things that make them happy in Tondo. Things that no one else would know except Tondo Enyos.
Hey, what's up? Good morning.
I'm here on the rooftop of our church with our pastor, Ryan Albo Martinez. This guy has been here for 5 years and he's truly seen everything.
Yeah, I really learned a lot from the people here in the community because their life itself ministered to me because they have this mentality that the Lord is not forgetting them. They are always convincing themselves that they are loved and they are matter to God.
Hi, we're on the streets just in Happy Land, Tondo, and I'm with Arceline Segulay. She's a youth growing up here in Tondo. She does spoken word, and she's practicing to grow up to be a journalist.
The beautiful things that nobody knows about in Tondo is the beautiful faces of children who smile even in their worst situation. And even though all the spaces here are occupied with garbage, they still find a place where they can play and enjoy their childhood.
Hi, I'm here with Jefferson Talavera, just outside our church here in Happy Land. Jefferson is our pastor. He's grown up here his whole life in Tondo, and he's truly changing lives here. He's truly making an impact.
The good thing here in Tondo, that people here are so hospitable in a way that they give much more. We love sharing food, we love sharing what we have. They know how to share what they have. Even in the smallest things, I love it.
I'm here with Christine Semmel, the nurse of the community, in a hidden garden. Here in Tondo, you hardly ever see any green. It's refreshing to see something growing and alive.
People here in the community are very overcoming. In spite of the problems, disaster that they experience, they still manage to smile. And they were very hardworking. Day and night, they were working hard just to provide for their families. And they still have integrity even in the humblest work that they have.
So thank you very much for watching. As you can see in Tondo, there are many amazing things that have never been shown before.
Love from Tondo!
See you tomorrow!
I said see you tomorrow. I don't know if that was by faith.
Well, speaking of tomorrow, Pastor Elmo, tomorrow he will be heading to the airport. He will be on his way here as well. It's a shame that his visa didn't come on time. He was planning to come here to Fraserboro as well. But yes, that's another step of faith that we've done with him. But we'll show you some slides as well to give you an update of what's happening in the community right now. We've got a picture of a family because usually we don't bring the boys with us. Just
they
to show.
Wanted to come here, so.
So that's a picture of, there's a family picture, that's where the boys goes to school. That's the football pitch.
They usually like to stay with granny because granny's get more sweeties than we do, so but they've come today with us.
And then the next slide, I don't know if you remember 2 years ago, a lot of people here would remember these five were here and they were doing some hip hop dancing on this stage and sharing their testimonies.
So 2 years ago, for those of you who don't know, these young people are, well, they started off with us when they were children, so we've been there almost 12 years. So these guys are some of the ones that came along to Kids Church on the dump site when we started. And we always had this dream one day, what if we could bring them, you know, to Scotland and they could share for themselves God's goodness. And 2 years ago, God made that happen. They had no birth certificates, no like address, even when we were applying, and God made a way for their visas and their passports, and they were able to come and share around churches. So we thought we'd give just a really quick update of how they're doing, because some people have been asking, oh, what about the five that were here? So EJ here, EJ is married with a little boy, and his wife's expecting a little girl quite soon. He's still working as a barber. He's got a job outside of the slum, and they've actually started putting a down payment on a house, like a proper house away from the slum. And that was always his dream. A lot of the people don't want to actually move away, but EJ has always said, I don't want to start raising my children here. You know, babies die, mostly under fives. We see a lot of under fives die, just with the conditions and the dump site and the garbage. But EJ was saying, I don't want to raise my two children like that. So they've actually put a down payment on a house and they'll be moving. Christine in the middle, she was one of our scholars through our college and university ministry. She graduated as a nurse and was working, came back with us 2 years ago to work full-time, and she's still working with us full-time. So pray for her, because she's got a lot of very unglamorous jobs. A lot of our kids reinfest with worms. She spends a lot of time dealing with deworming and everything that comes with that. Some nasty work, but she does it with so much joy. And Christine, for those of you who never heard her testimony, she grew up in a community called Novotis, and it was a cemetery, and she grew up amongst the tombs. So actually, financially, she could have saved up and moved away from the slums by now with what she's earned, but she felt a calling to move into Tondo. So she moved away from a cemetery into the dump site because she felt God was telling her to live amongst the people as well. So we learn from them. I mean, we don't live on the dump site. We live about an hour away. So pray for Christine, because she's always on call all the time there. Jefferson, who was here last year and graduated from Wales Bible College, he's full-time youth pastor in the community. Jovaline's working with a Christian charity teaching kindergartners, so is that like nursery, I think? So kids from our own community that this charity are putting through school, she's tutoring them, so she's got about 50 at a time, so pray for her. And then at the weekend, she comes back and teaches kids church with us. And then Roy has one more year and he will be qualified in criminology. So his aim is to be a policeman. He's only got one more year of university to do through our scholarship program. So pray for it. Pray for him for his last year at uni.
So I just want to share to you quickly, the drummer, the lovely woman there was talking about miracles. And I want to tell you just quickly how this started. And because I've seen a lot of beautiful new faces here. It was 11 years ago. I was in Gloucestershire, and Joanna was here in Scotland, in Kilmarnock. And I was talking to a headmaster of a Christian school, and he said, "Oh, you're a Filipino." I said, "Yes." "Oh, I know a place in Manila, in a dump site. It's called Smoky Mountain, and a woman started to work there." Providing education, the livelihood for their parents. I said, "That's amazing, but that's a dangerous place." And I thought to myself, I don't want to go there. I was really amazed about what this woman has done. And then that same night, I phoned Joanna and told Joanna all about this amazing work. And she said, "You're not going to believe this. I'm holding a leaflet with the same charity." It says everything about the woman, and we were just gobsmacked. So of all the charities in the world, like, you know, I could have found about, you know, how to save whales or something, or how to save your baldy hair.
2 years after that, we went out to 2 years after that, we went out to Tondo for the first time, wasn't it?
Aye.
Like after you called me, it was 2 whole years, wasn't it?
Yep.
Until we actually like went out there. But we could have found out about any community in the world, but it was Tondo. And we originally went out with this charity that Ron was speaking of to teach music. We thought that was our plan, but God had a totally different plan. So when we went out there, we began to see the children in the streets, and we noticed that a lot of them did actually know bits of the Bible, and they knew some songs. And Ron asked them, how do you know? And they said, well, missionaries come and then they always leave. When the gang riots start, they leave. Sorry if you've, for those who have heard all this before. But so we ended up not being working with that charity. We did a little bit, but then they moved anyway, and they said, would you come with us into a better area of Tondo? And we felt called to stay in the dump site. Not living there, but going in there every day from morning to night. And then, even back there 11 years ago, we knew that God wanted a people from inside. He wanted the team to come from inside, so that one day when they were split up somehow, that they would be able, they would be leaders, and they would take the hope of Christ wherever they would go. And every year since we've been there, the government have said, this will be the year where we're going to demolish the community and relocate the people. Because some of them have been there for 20 years in temporary housing. It's not really housing, if those of you have been have seen. It's just a dump site, really, and they've made their own houses on it. But some people have been there for 20 years waiting on the government giving them a house. So every year the government have said to us, this will be the year we're going to demolish the centre, we're going to demolish the houses and relocate the people. And we've never seen it happen. Until about a month ago, it started. Something's shifting for the first time.
Yes. Next slide. Next slide. So for many years, we've been hearing about hearsay in the community. The families will be saying, oh, this year, the government will be moving us, and we will be gone by next week, and things like that, but nothing happens. For 11 years of working in that community, but just before we left there, coming over here to the UK, we started seeing trucks and stuff, their own, there's even a plant there, there's stuff being put in their trucks, and people are being moved. 40 families every 2 weeks are being moved. It's finally happening, and the plan, the government's plan is for this year, before the end of the year, the place will be flattened.
So we don't know exactly what that will look like. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. We don't know, really. But definitely there's been a shift. Something has started that we've never seen before. And at the moment, it's families who have like their birth certificates and are registered on a census. So it's the ones right now who are choosing to leave, so that's okay. We've been based in other communities before where that is the first stage, and then the second stage is the government come in with bulldozers and just say, well, tomorrow we're flattening your house, and they've got nowhere to go because they've got no papers or anything. So it's really a shift that we've never seen. It's something that we've never seen before. But at the same time, we've always known it's going to happen. And we've always felt like God could use this to spread his church out wherever, you know, all the people now. So as we're showing these, is there another picture of them taking down the houses?
Picture. Next slide. So that's them trying to get wood, as much wood that they can to bring it wherever they're going, outside the city. And there's a lot of empty spaces now in the community, which is sad to look at.
Sad.
There's another slide next to that. So
that's inside for those of you who have been like building 4 across from us and building 3 right across from our centre. At the same time, there's 30,000 in our community. So when we're showing these, this is still a tiny portion relative to actually how many people are in. We work with about just over 1,000 of the families each week. But it's definitely the start of something. And so when we talk about relocation, it's not like when we think of maybe relocation here, you know, there's already some kind of infrastructure. You've got hospitals nearby and schools. Here, what's happening is they're moving the families to, if you can imagine, just a big, beautiful, huge field, and they've got houses in it. And the houses are good. I mean, they're not big in what we know here, but they're proper structures, but there's nothing else. There's no running water, there's no electric, there's no hospitals, there's no markets, there's no schools, there's no clinics, there's nothing. So that's the dilemma, and that's what's causing a lot of fear in our community. They're saying, but we would rather stay in a slum and work. At least we know we've got the garbage. And talking to the mamas, their fear is, because some of them maybe lived in the province years ago when they were little, and they said, the thing is about Tondo, we can look, because they all earn their money from the rubbish, so they'll look through the rubbish and they'll look for things that they can sell. So if they gather a kilo of paper, that's 8 pesos. is that about 10 pence? I think Mildred, you can correct me, but around 10 pence for a kilo of paper. So it's a lot of work for very little money. But they said, look, if it gets to the end of the night and we've only earned 25 pence, for example, or 70 pence, we know we can then go into the food in the rubbish dump and get that food and recook it and try and give it to our children. There's always food, even if it's rotten, we can find food and we can try and boil it. Their fear is, what if we're in the middle of the field and our kids are hungry, what will we do? There's nowhere else, there's no other option. And so even though it has the potential to be actually a good thing, it does have the potential to be a good thing and a positive thing, there's a lot of fear and uncertainty at the moment with the families.
So this, can you go back again to that slide? This street here is usually buzzing with people, and somebody will be selling stuff in the street, and then dogs, even rats will be running about. But now we see a lot of empty spaces in the community. I would like to
just share one thing before we read that thing. It's interesting because before this started happening, so we have a team of about 40 staff and volunteers and part-time staff, and seven of us separately had dreams all kind of revolving around the same thing. So it's like God is trying to speak to us. And they all kind of had something in it to do with, we would walk into the street. For those of you who have been, the street is buzzing. There's rats running about. There's dogs and cats. There's people selling stuff. There's people shouting. There's video keys, karaoke's on every street corner. It's a noisy place. It never sleeps. Tondo never sleeps. But in our dreams, we could see ourselves going into the street and it was quiet. But it wasn't like a weird quietness, it was like a peaceful quiet. It was dark. And then in my dream, I went to the gates of our church, which are always, half hanging off at the center where the church meets. And I went inside and it was dark. There was nothing going on. There was no ministries. There was nothing. There was no worship. There was no feeding. There was no scholarship. I could just see an empty shell of a building, apart from Jefferson, who happened to be sitting on a couch. I'm not sure why he was there, but he was like, why was I still there after Joanna? I don't know. But just within our team, there's been like seven kind of dreams like that, and also dreams about like storms coming in and sweeping away people. So just we feel like God is trying to say, this is the start of something. How that exactly looks, we don't really know, but something is shifting that we've never felt, even in the spiritual atmosphere of the place. So we need a lot of prayer for our team and for ourselves as well in the community.
We'd like to share a verse in John 17, verse 18. It says there, this is part of Jesus' prayer. It says there that, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And this is the main verse that I spoke about before I left. It's a Sunday, as well as my message is called Migrants or Immigrants. Sorry, I was talking to them and talk about how you've seen our logo. It's butterfly, and for years we would talk about metamorphosis and how a caterpillar would turn into a cocoon and then cocoon into a butterfly, and how all our faith, all our walk with Christ is all have different stages. Maybe you have a cocoon kind of faith in Christ, or yeah, a caterpillar kind of walk with Christ, so that they know that. But the Sunday before I left, thank you, Jamie. The Sunday before I left, such a gentleman.
Servant heart right there.
Thank you. So I talked to them how about the monarch butterfly who would migrate from Canada to Mexico. And I think it's near the end of the year, for 4 months, they would migrate. And the scientists said that the non-migrating monarch butterfly would only last for 2 weeks. The migrating ones would last for 4 to 5 years. And you would see this in different, what God had created in seeds as well. There's a lot of creative ways that God made seeds to spread. There's helicopter seeds, and there's dandelion seeds you can blow away. It's like parachutes. And then there's like seeds who would be pecked by birds and get pooped somewhere else. and that's where it will grow. I'd rather be the helicopter seed. But there's, you know, geese and ducks would migrate as well. So, and you see many times in the Bible how the Israelites, how they didn't stay in one place. They got captured and moved to Egypt and then Babylon. And then I spoke to them about in Acts how when after the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and they spoke in different tongues, and then people came and surrounded them and wondering what's happening. Why are you speaking our language? You're not from here. We're not from here, but you're speaking our language. And then Peter explained everything to them, that this is the Holy Spirit. And then 3,000 got saved that day. And those 3,000 became so tight. They're like family. And they loved each other. They loved the Lord. They sold all their goods. They sold the lands, whatever they have, and give it to the church and give it to the Lord's work. And they were like a family. But they didn't stay in one place. It didn't stay like that. It was very comfortable. They know each other's problems. They know each other's children. But God told them, you need to go to Jerusalem. You need to go to Samaria. You need to go to Judea and spread the word. I know that it's cozy and nice. And you know your exact seat, and the pastor knows the exact temperature of the heater for you. But nothing stays in one place. God told us to go. And that was my message to them. I told them, I know we love each other here. I know it's comfortable. I know that we know each other's problems and each other's victories. But this is not our calling. God didn't call us to be a perfectly nice church and staying in one place. God asked us to go. Yes, we'll have fellowship. But God also wants us to go out, because there's a lot of lost people out there. Jesus is coming. He's coming back again. But there's a lot of people there who doesn't even know that Jesus came for the first time. So what's the point of telling them that Jesus is coming back again? We need to tell them that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and died for them. And they are sinners. And there's redemption for them.
Funny, because we look back at things that were so uncomfortable for us. So 11 and a half years ago when we went there, you know, the mud that you walk through, that's not just mud, it's like human waste. That was so uncomfortable for a while. And I remember not being able to eat because the flies would come and land on the food that they would give me, or you were wondering, was that food clean that they gave me, or did they take it from the trash and they give it to me? Like, did they take it from the rubbish? And there were so many things that were uncomfortable. The behavior of the kids was really uncomfortable at the time. And then things are kind of comfortable now, which is really weird. When you go there, we don't really smell how rotten it is. The mud doesn't bother me. It gets all up our legs and it's just okay. You wash it off. And, you know, there are still things about the community that are hard and very uncomfortable. Like, we've had a lot of killings from the government, and that's been heartbreaking. We've had a lot of babies die with measles recently. That's heartbreaking. There are still things that are heartbreaking. But there are also things that are, oh, it's comfortable. We're a church and we love one another, like Ron was saying. But maybe God wants to move everybody on so they can take that hope of Christ whenever they go. And who knows what God can do through them. That's easy for us to say. Actually, it's not that easy. It's actually not that easy for us to say. It's actually hard in a way. But all we know is there's 3 relocation sites at the moment, all outside of the city. And we've actually been offered land and a building on one of them. But we never felt any peace about taking it. We don't feel right now that God is saying, just take what you've set up and move it to a different location. We don't feel like that's the right thing to do. Maybe it will change, but at the moment, we don't feel like we want to be, how do you describe it, like hovering helicopter parents, you know, that are like hovering over all these 1,000 families and finding out where they are. And they will definitely need initial help to set up. We're praying to take on a social worker actually this week so that she can just focus on documenting where people are moving, what they really do have, who has nothing, who is hungry, who is starving. And one of our girls from the college and university scholarship just qualified in social work, so we're praying about taking her on, and she'll just focus on that. She'll just focus on documenting everything. And even this morning, we didn't have time to put it up on the slide, but just before we came out the house, the staff sent over a picture of them praying for the next batch of families that were going to be sent out, and it was a bit I felt a bit weird about it for the first time, to be honest, because the other pictures they've sent, we haven't worked directly with the families that have moved. But the ones they sent this morning were like ladies that have been leading the Bible studies, and they were getting sent out. So it's like, oh, this is real. You know, they are going. Will we see them again? I think we will see them again, because we know where they're going this batch. But the other batches that will happen when the government come in, we don't know how that will look. But we're praying that the mayor... we'll do it in a dignified way. We've seen it done where they'll just come in and bulldoze everything, but we've also seen it done in Novotis where there's a kind of lead up to it. So they'll say, okay, in 6 months or a few months, we'll demolish your house, and they've let them like cut their own electric and take their own house down, just a bit more dignified. So we're praying for that as well.
So pray for our family as well, because this is a crossroad for us, as it is a crossroad for the community. We might come back to the Philippines and to an empty community. We always want the Lord to guide us. And just how we came across this ministry, we were telling you earlier how we came across this ministry, this community. We would like something like that, something clear for this next chapter, whatever it is.
And we don't need to know, okay, what's it gonna look like in a year? We just start praying, like, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do in the midst of this relocation? What's that next step? So even the fact last week that we had a social worker graduate and we're feeling like, okay, it's right to take her on. We know like that was the next wee step, start documenting where people are going. We know for sure that some areas of the ministry will continue, like the Hope and Future Scholars. We've still got lots of kids in college and university. We need to get them through. We need to get them finishing. Because what we're seeing is the ones who... by God's grace, we have been able to open up doors for education. They don't really have the same fear because they know, well, I'm an accountant now, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher, I can get a job wherever I go. Maybe they'll have to travel a wee bit, but it's the older generation who have only ever known how to make money from the rubbish. That's where the fear is, and that's where the panic is a little bit. What will they do? What will they do? All they know how to do is recycle from the rubbish. So they're worried. They're worried about what it's going to look like for them.
I think there's a message here for somebody. It's saying, God is saying, God can use you. We are not special people. I had a broken past, and Joanne had a broken past. And I am not trained pastor. I'm not trained anything. But I'm trained to eat and sleep. But I don't know, for some reason, God used us, and God can use you as well. I think God is saying that to somebody this morning.
Sometimes we have this idea that mission is, it's a far-off thing, but every one of us are called to be missionaries to your neighbors, to your workmates, to your community here. The whole world is a mission field, whether that's through worship or where you work or a secular job or a ministry. And that's what we're praying as well, and pray for you too. God, what does our mission feel? What's it going to look like? We know that we need to go back to the Philippines. We know that everything will continue, like the feeding and the clinic and everything. That will all continue until they say we're going to demolish. And we have no clue when that will happen. It could be months or a year or weeks. We don't know. So that's kind of the hard bit. There's really a lot of unknown. So we would ask for your prayers, ask for prayers for provision for the social worker and for our scholars, prayers for wisdom for not just us, but our teams. Like, God has given dreams and visions to our team so that that will continue, that we're all like-minded, because we're still employing our staff. So what does God want us to do next? What's that next step? So we want to thank you. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for your giving, those who give monthly into our feeding, those who are giving into our scholarship, those who have been out, those who send boxes and boxes with stuff that keeps our costs down. Thank you so much.
So we're just going to end with a song, and it coincides with what we're talking about here, that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. The song is called "What Would Jesus Do?" And I wrote it years ago, sitting in a dump site, thinking, you know, Lord, what would you do? Because I am clueless and I don't know what to do. And the song will explain itself.
Call unto me, and I will answer you.
here's where I am, breathing this air, walking my streets. Where would he go, and what would he say? What would he be like if he is in my place? I ask myself these questions so many times. His word reminds me of the things he's already done. You found him walking with the dirty man, breaking bread with the hungry and poor. And you'll find him drying tears from the eyes of homeless children left in the street. When there's a place where hope is dry and bare, Jesus will be there. Find him drying tears from the eyes of homeless children left in the street. And you'll find him talking in a distant field where there's no walls but thousands to feed. And you'll find him washing all the dirty feet. No matter who you are, where you have been, and there's a place where hope is dry and bare. And there's a place where no one seems to care. When there's a place where hope is dry and bare, Jesus will be there.
So that Jesus doesn't have to come back here and do those things, because we are his hands and feet, and God is sending us to do those things. And so thank you. Thank you for having us again. God bless.
Again, every time they come, I'm always left challenged and humbled by them and their story, and just inspired. And as you started to share, I started to think of your logo, and then I didn't really know a lot of what you was going to share, and then you mentioned your logo. I just feel that is the season your runners change, but whatever God has got for you is going to be beautiful. I remember hearing a preacher speak about the five seasons, because we always think there's four seasons, summer, winter, spring, autumn. But he says,